morning, everyone, and welcome to another show of Out and About with Elaine. And this is Elaine LaRoche, and you are listening to us on 1320 AM. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I do have a special guest in the studio, but before I get to this and introduce him properly, last week I was talking to you about a robbery that happened at Cumberland Farms. Remember, we were talking and I had gone in. I go in every Saturday morning around 6 a.m. to pick up the Sun Chronicle, and this young man was behind the counter. We were talking about it. Well, this week there were two robberies. It was in Cumberland Farms, and then on Friday night at 12 o'clock, and then Sunday morning, the Honeydew Donuts was robbed as well. And it was by the same person, and I'm happy to report to you that the suspect in the two robberies was caught, and they're going to prosecute him. And there's a restraining order from him for ever going into the County Square area. So I went into the store again this morning, the Cumberland Farms, like I always do, and the young man was really great. He was instrumental in giving a great description of the robber, and also to notifying the authorities, and they caught this guy. So I was really happy to hear that. It kind of eased their minds, because, you know, in that early morning at midnight, or, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's hardly anybody there, and it's very scary. And these are just kids that are working behind the counter. And so thank God that he was safe, but also, too, he's to be commended for actually being instrumental in catching him. So we are safer because of that. But in studio, I would love to introduce you to Richard Lunt again. He is a former WARA alumni here, but also, too, Richard is an HR. He's one of the best people to ask and call in if you want to change a job, if you have any questions about, you know, what are the career paths that you should take at a certain age, is there age discrimination in the workplace, and many more things. So I want to welcome Richard this morning, and we can just get right to it. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and we're just going to get right to it. So why do people change jobs?
For various reasons, job dissatisfaction. People have been in jobs for a very long time and they want to move in a certain direction and they can't. There's also monetary reasons, like money. They want to make more money. And when I say satisfaction, not only with the jobs satisfaction with the company, but also the role, too. If there's a role that they're being constrained in, and they can't progress enough in the role, and I think that's part of why people change jobs, and also location too, and also different aspects of, you know, if people change jobs due to layoffs too, that's another area as well.
Mm-hmm.
Factors why people change jobs.
Right. Good answer. What should people do if they do want to look for a new job? Like I have what I call a diversified job. So I have like event planning, HR coordinating, office management, travel agent, you know, a concierge service. And I do a negotiation with all the rates in the hotels and restaurants. So I have a very diversified job, and I like it that way. So I'm not just this block. You can't put me in one little cube and say this is all I do. And I like that diversity. And I also like the diversity of me. Like we have socials once a month. So I kind of come up with different things and themes. And in November, I had four New England Patriots down for a tailgate party. And because I had worked with one of them in my grant-funded program, and he brought some other guys, his friends, down too. So Ronnie LaPette and his friends came, and they were just really awesome. So I'm trying to always think of something different. And then I have a committee now, which is phenomenal. And so I don't want to take much time, but I'm just saying, like, the diversity of my job makes it interesting for me. I've been in other positions in finance where all I was doing was accounts payable, paying the bills, reconciling accounts and things like that. But there was no challenge outside that box. I love this job because there's so much diversity and so much excitement. Like every week, I'm bringing people from London or England or China or any place all over the world to come into Providence. And I like that excitement, and It's really satisfying. But I know that a lot of people have stayed in jobs 20, 30 years, and they're lucky, they're very fortunate, because most companies either sell off or close, or people, like you say, dissatisfied with the position and they want to just try something different. So if someone was thinking about that, I want to ask you about the resume, because the resumes of back in the day when I was applying for jobs was paper. And now it's like, it seems like everybody wants to screen you online before you even get in front of someone.
Yeah. So can you tell us? That's the standard now versus a paper resume. You should have a paper resume on file when you go into a in-person interview, and that's always good as well. But your resume is an extension of yourself too. So brand your resume in such a way that you can have the skills that the people, the hiring managers are looking for. So if you go into a job description and you say, for instance, an HR administrator, and you've worked with payroll, and you've worked with benefits, and if you worked with recruiting, those are the top three bullet points you should put on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will lend itself to when you go in the online portion, they will capture those different points in the electronic version.
I see.
That's what pulls together the information needed, so a hiring manager can say, oh, this person has these skill sets, I want to talk to this person here. Yeah. And so that's a reason why you should set up that resume that way. Mm-hmm. And brand yourself too. Brand yourself, in my resume, I brand myself as an HR and training professional, because I have training experience now, and I have HR experience, but I also have customer service and administrative experience as well, so I'm much more diversified.
Mm-hmm.
in a lot of areas, and that's what companies are looking for, is, like you said, diversified people, because companies are looking, they're cutting back, so they're looking, asking people that are currently on the job to do more, and so they're looking for a well-rounded employee to do a lot of things outside of their scope of the job, too.
Oh, yes, I'm very well aware of that.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday was a perfect example. My company is data tracking of companies and product and inventory, and we had, I got a call like last Friday that we had 25 executives from Coca-Cola and Stop and Shop wanting to meet with our sales force in Providence, Rhode Island. So people came from all over the country to Providence. So everything from red and white tablecloths, because that's the Coca-Cola symbol, to anything Coca-Cola products were served, as well as bottled water by Stop and Shop. And I sent away we have a notebook that's really unique. It says my company's name and logo on it. So I set it up, the table around, it's a big square. We have a huge conference room, so there was like 30 seats around this big, huge table. So everybody got one of those notebooks when they walked in, and I had a catering breakfast and a catering lunch. And so it was really great. But that was something out of the scope of my regular job. And I'm always asked to do something like that. And I like that challenge because I'm really good at event planning. So, like, they couldn't believe when they walked in and they seen this. And then they seen, like, quiches for breakfast instead of, like, stale bagels or whatever. Like, I made it top shelf all the way.
and employees appreciate that. I mean, and with companies, they tend to, attract, do stuff like that to attract employees as far as coming to work for them, like outside events, company corporate events. Now, I at the company that I'm temping for now, a couple of weeks ago, they had a thank you breakfast for all the employees, which was like, they had different stations, like they had a la carte station, they had eggs and omelet station, they had waffles station and bananas, you name it. And it was all cooked by the senior leadership team.
What?
Yeah. And that was impressive just to see and just to be a part of that, even though I was a contractor and not an employee of this certain company. But still, to see something like that, that gives an employee a sense of pride know that the leadership, the senior leadership, is saying thank you to me for doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's another reason why people are attracted to certain companies, because of that, you know, thank you, that satisfaction that senior leadership notices the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So and some places, you know, they don't do that, and that's why people tend to leave. It's because of the corporate environment too.
Right. Yeah. I try to keep it interesting. Part of my job is to go around and take a survey of what you want to do. What do you want to do for? We have a holiday party every January, and we had a really great party last year. This year, we're doing the same thing at the Providence Biltmore, but we're adding more people. The Patriots are coming. My senior vice president said to me, reach out to them as a thank you and ask them if they would like to come. I said, okay, I will do that. And they all were excited. Oh, yeah, we're going to come. We're going to come. So people that didn't have a chance to meet them at the tailgate party are going to socialize with our Patriots at the end of January.
That's nice.
And
yeah.
It's like, it's so awesome. It is awesome. So yeah. I'm sorry. I'll get back to what you're saying, but I wanted to ask you something. There are many different avenues that you can do for looking for a job. And we're talking to Richard Lund only because he is an expert in HR management and he reads your resume. So I figured let's have Richard on to see exactly what a recruiter actually does when you send your resume. But can you do a walk-in also? Do people still walk into a company and hand a resume?
No. That's probably not the best way to approach a job search and apply for a job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it worked like 20, 30 years ago. You could walk in and fill up an application. Now they screen, everything online, have your resume online and everything.
Right.
And also they have video interviews as well. Some companies too.
Really?
They use some companies use HireVue, which is a online source where you can actually record a video resume, a video interview, and it's like, I did this on a couple of job that I was seeking, and it was amazing just to answer the questions on a video on a computer.
Wow! So,
but that seems to be the trend happening in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but to answer your question, as far as walk-ins. The companies discourage walk-ins because it's pretty much standard, because you get 100 to 200 applicants per job, so it's kind of hard for people to just walk in. So mm-hmm. That's why that's discouraged.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to have to hold you there right now because we are up against our first commercial break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Go grab a cup of coffee, sit back, relax. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We're going to have our first break, and then we'll kind of come back and talk to Richard Lund. And if you have a question about looking for a job, any questions about your resume, call in. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Attleboro Arts Museum is showing its annual members exhibition from December 9th to February 2nd, with an opening reception on December 10th from 2 to 4 p.m. Over 350 works of art by the museum's member artists will be exhibited in the Altmar Gallery. Guest juror Judith Klein of Judith Klein Art Gallery in New Bedford will judge the work and award outstanding artists at the opening reception. The reception and the entire run of the exhibit is free and open to the public. Gallery hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
We set up the rocket.
Hit ignition.
Hit ignition.
And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Beard Gallery at Wheaton College will exhibit Allison Bianco, Atlantic Time, from December 1st to February 22nd. Allison Bianco is a printmaker who mines her experiences on New England waterways to create a series of vibrant, evocative prints that speak about nostalgia. Wheaton will host a gallery opening and reception on Thursday, December 1st from 5:30 to 8 p.m. in the Haas Concourse and Lobby in the Watson Fine Arts Building. For more information about the exhibition, visit wheatoncollege.edu/gallery.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock, jingle bells.
Oh, I love this time of year. Oh my God, this is great. Thanks, Mike. I want to thank Michael for coming on and helping me. He's running our board, he's screening our calls, and also adding to our conversation today. So good morning, Mike. Thank you for coming here this early in the morning, each and every Saturday.
You're welcome, Elaine.
I appreciate it.
This is a fun show.
Yes, it is. More so than other times, we have great shows and we have good shows, but today this is a great show. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Our guest today is Richard Lunt. And
you got to do it like Paul Healy. 222-1320.
There's nobody and nothing like Paul Healy. To be imitating would be insulting to the man, the great man. So yes. I can't even go there. Anyway, Richard, can you give us some tips on preparing for an interview? Say, once you get a call back and saying, hey, we'd like to interview you. So what are some of the tips and, you know, prospective employee could go to an interview, say, in any industry? But what are some of the main things that they should be doing before they even step into the HR department for that interview?
Yeah, when you're going for an interview, you do a lot of research about the company, about the culture, and about the job, too. Look at the job description. Look at what you can bring to the table, and what their pain point is, what they're looking for in the job description is, you know, they have a need. What can you fill that need? But also, when you're doing your research, look at the company culture. Like I said, go online, search their financials, search their news about anything about the company, about the company structure. Also, look at what they have for benefits as well, and for like outside company, like company sponsored events too, to see if you're a good fit for the role. Mm-hmm. If you're going to like this position. And this company. So those are the research tips that I could give. It's like, do a lot of research, go online, and make sure you know the company as well as they do. Mm-hmm. And formulate questions that are job related, as far as, you know, how I can help you. I mean, how I can provide value to you.
Right.
Those are some of the questions that I would develop as far as you know, say if you're going for a payroll position and you have ADP experience, what type of ADP experience do you have? And you're looking at, entering time data and all of that into ADP? Or is it a small amount? Or do you have a wealth of experience in ADP? Look at the job description. And,
So that's basically what you were saying in your previous comment, a resume, you should have more than one resume, because I know, again, going back into when your resume is uploaded and scanned, recruiting software will take buzzwords that reply to Yeah, it will scan a red light, so to speak, or green light, saying, yes, we want this candidate because they have like 10 out of 12 matching skill sets that we're looking for. So you should always like revamp your resume, keep it fresh then,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Apply for the job. Make sure those skills that you have are in the forefront.
Yes, definitely. I do encourage that, and that's the standard as far as, you know, making sure your resume has those buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
And not to inflate your resume too, because some people have done that, and you know, and that's I would discourage that. But if you have this certain skill sets that they're looking for, add those buzzwords to the resume.
Okay.
And that will help bring your resume to the top.
Right.
Yeah.
So do most HR companies, do you use a scan? Like, where do you go if there's a position open? What websites are at your disposal to screen out candidates?
Well, a lot of companies use like ICMS. You know, there was a software for that. And also, you know, there's Taleo, another system that they use to screen out candidates. So that's what make sure it's user friendly to Taleo and ICMS and all of that software as well.
When you say that, make it user friendly, what specifically should someone do? Like you're saying, like gear it towards that particular job description, and then your mm-hmm. resume will come to the HR recruiter?
Yeah, and especially when in your resume you look at the title. If you have the same title, definitely put that title on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
And also look at the first three bullet points of the job. And if you have those skill sets, put those bullet points right at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So they have those buzzwords there, and those are matching. And also the degrees, too. If they're looking for, like, say, a bachelor's degree and you have a bachelor's degree, put that on the forefront as well, because that will pull that information, too.
I see. Yeah. Great. Okay, so you've got the interview. You're going to go. What are some of the key questions to ask to show you're interested in that position?
Some of the key questions that I've asked in the past as far as job-related questions is, In an HR position, I was looking at, I targeted a question which was, you know, what was the type of position as far as the role? I mean, what type of role, like, and if you're looking at an HR administrator position, the question that I asked was, how does your team get along? As far as, you know, working with each other.
Interesting. I've never heard that question being asked.
Yeah, and the reason why I asked that is because I'm looking at, you know, how the team works. Do we work well together? Can I work well together with these people?
Right.
It shows that I'm interested in the not only the job itself, but in the department as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're actually identifying, like, what the culture is, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the questions that I ask as far as, you know, team, you know, as far as team. And also, what projects are you working on currently, or what projects does this role have?
Mm-hmm.
And then do you anticipate the person doing as far as this role, and any special projects do you have coming up as
right,
well?
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Which is better, a handwritten note or an email, and how soon should you send it after an interview?
An email is generally the standard, and I say just about a week after you have that interview, or maybe shorter, just to say, you know, thank you email. And also, you know, a letter, short note works too in some cases, but generally the standard accepted practices are an email,
mm-hmm.
you know, thank you email. You know, and reiterate that showing your value in the email, that you know, you believe you're the best person for the job, that you can add value, because a lot of companies want to see how you can add value in a particular job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay, that sounds great. And how many days do you follow up after an interview? Because people always say, "Oh, we're going to get back to you," you know, in a week or so, or "We'll get back to you." It's open ended. And you never really know. So, you know, etiquette, you know, do you wait 3 days? Do you wait 5 days? Do you?
I usually wait a week because
a week. Okay.
Yeah, a week or maybe a couple of days shorter than a week, but I usually wait a week, and if I haven't heard by the deadline, then I go ahead and give that person a call or email the person just to get a status update on the job.
Mm, yeah. Interesting. How long do you think that it takes for them to screen candidates for one particular job, say? By the time that they interview you, they interview other people, they make a decision, then they finally make an offer to the first candidate that they think is going to be a great job. Is it like 2 weeks, three, a month, sooner?
Mostly the standard practice is like a month, because not only when you get to the point where you make an offer to a candidate, after you go through the process of selecting a candidate, and selecting a candidate is a job in itself too, because you're looking at different resumes, collecting the interview questions and the responses, and to see if they're a culture fit too, and mm-hmm. you're looking at all the human factors too, as far as the personality. Does the person upbeat, or was the person down a little bit? The person quiet during the interview, or do they show interest in the job? A lot of those factors too. But once they get to the point where they make an offer, then you have to go through the background check piece too, and see if your background check comes on in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So that may take a couple of days, or at least a week or two. And then after that, once the offer is made and then the background check is positive, then the person being, the hiree has to give the current employer a 2 weeks' notice. So yeah, just takes about a month for an actual hiring to take place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got a question. So they do the background check after they actually do the initial offering?
After they offer you the position, they'd have to do the background check.
Yeah. I'm surprised at that. I thought they would do that before they even call you for the interview.
No, it's standard practice, because technically,
well, it costs
once
money
they
to
make
do that.
You an offer, you're now considered a possible employee. So that's why. And if you accept the offer, then you are an employee. So they do have to have that background check.
I see.
That's why they do that.
How about phone interviews? Is it the same procedure?
Phone interviews are, and that's a good question. Phone interviews are screening tools mm-hmm. for recruiters to, weed out the ones that they do want and the ones that they don't want, based on, the responses in a phone interview.
Gotcha. Okay. In your opinion, is it tougher to find a new job the older you get?
In my experience, I would say yes, it's tougher, but also you can guard against that. You can show your value in being an older worker, or experienced worker, I like mm-hmm. to call myself, and because you have this experience, and you can show this value more by, say, if you have a degree,
mm-hmm.
you went to school late, I mean, that's fine. And you have certifications after a certain age. That's valuable too. So that shows the prospective employer that you're just not going to be thrown by the wayside. You're willing to learn and grow mm-hmm. even in after a certain age too. So.
Very good. All right. Listen, we're up against another break. On the flip side, we have Jim Corbin, and then we'll pick up our interview after that. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning. Have a second cup of coffee on us, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
On February 4th at 7:30 p.m. at Goff Memorial Hall in Rehoboth, the Rehoboth Antiquarian Society will hold their third concert in the 2016 season of the Rehoboth Arts in the Village series. Sarasa, a duo consisting of cellist Timothy Merton and Jennifer Morshies, will perform pieces composed for famous kings, queens, and dukes. With harpsichord accompaniment, the cellists will perform works by Bach, Handel, and Vivaldi. For information about the concert series, call the Antiquarian Society at 508-463-5384 or visit carpentermuseum.org.
It's the best time of the year.
I love this song. Oh my gosh, this is just a great song. We're getting into the spirit of Christmas. I can't believe it, but we are, and Jim Corbin will be calling us shortly. But before he does, I just wanted to let you know that there is a parking ban that started on December 1st, and it goes all the way through March 31st, 2017. So what does that mean, a parking ban? That means you cannot park on any public way. That means your driveway, you have to put all your cars, all your vehicles in the driveway. You can't park on the street anymore, or else you get a $10 ticket. And if you don't pay within a certain amount of time, you'll get another one, and it will be another fine. $20 will be added. So we don't want you to do that. So it's the city's annual four-month overnight parking ban goes into effect. It did go into effect on Thursday. That means from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., you could be ticketed or towed, especially if it's snowing. So make sure that you do not park on the streets anymore. Until March 31st, the ban ends. So online, we're going to figure out what's going on in the world of weather by our chief meteorologist, Jim Corbin. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
All right. Good morning, Elaine and Mike and Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us something good. We are awake. We're just reading stuff that's going on.
No, I know. No, I mean, getting into the winter spirit, talking about those parking bans, that's always a tough thing for some people, looking around, where can I park and everything else. Not just in Attleboro, but, you know, other cities and towns around the area have those parking bans that go into effect usually around this time. But I'll tell you, we're going to try to get into the sort of a holiday spirit over the coming weeks, because you might remember last December was one of the warmest Decembers on record.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it culminated a couple of times right around Christmas, even Christmas Day, with temperatures around 60. This December looks to be a bit different. Not that we're going to see anything record-breaking, but we're going to start to continuously chill down overall in steps. In fact, I'm starting to see indications that in about 2 weeks, we may be looking at temperatures down into the single numbers at some point. So get ready for that. But not this weekend. Boy, I'll tell you, Elaine, we've got temperatures that are comfortable. They're right around the average, middle 40s for today, mostly sunny skies. Now, like the last couple of days, we're going to have a lot of those fair-weather cumulus clouds forming later this morning and this afternoon. And there'll be a bit of a breeze out of the northwest of 15, maybe sometimes 20 miles an hour. Now, of course, you have the I'm sure you're going to mention it, the event at Capron Park this afternoon.
Yes.
But that, you know, it should be fine. Just dress appropriately. No rain or snow to worry about. How about that? I don't know if you were out last evening or early evening, the combination of the crescent moon and Venus.
Oh, my God. Is that what Venus was? That was that big star. It looked like a big star in the sky.
Tonight, because it should be mostly clear again. Actually, I say tonight. It's really late afternoon because the sun goes down at 4:14. So I'll tell you. Here's the good thing, and I bring this up this time of the year all the time. Well, I've been mentioning it off and on for about 35 years now. The earliest sunsets don't occur on the shortest day, which is December 21st. It occurs middle of next week by a few seconds. So essentially, we're just now bottoming out. Meaning if you don't like these dark afternoons. Remember a couple of days this past week, it was like the lights were coming on at 3 in the afternoon because of these dark days. Well, this evening, we'll have a nice view. It'll be clear of the moon again with Venus. Now, tonight, it'll be oriented up and down. So you'll see the moon and you'll see Venus generally just below it. Should be a nice view tonight. Again, nice and clear. So just after the sun goes down, as it's just starting to get dark, if you're out and about, you might want to check that out before you go to do whatever you want. It's really a nice view of the crescent moon and the planet Venus. It's going to fall tonight into the upper 20s. That'll set the stage for a nice day tomorrow. Now, just a little bit colder, a high of about 40. Of course, there's the game at Gillette Stadium. Patriots playing the Rams at 1 o'clock. That should be fine and dandy. Perfect football weather, about 40 degrees at game time, 39-40. Now, on Monday, we're going to chill down a little bit more into the upper 30s, and there's going to be an upper-level feature swinging through, so I expect a chance of a few snow showers on Monday. Not enough to accumulate or anything, but just enough to sort of put you in a bit of a spirit that you know that winter is coming. Obviously, on the calendar, it's still a couple of weeks away or so. Now, on Tuesday, probably a break in the action with a mixture of sun and clouds, highs in the low 40s, and then it looks like on later Tuesday night and Wednesday, we're going to get into, as I often say, a cold, rotten, light, for the most part, light rain for Tuesday night and Wednesday that may end as some snow Wednesday night or Thursday. So that would be not a pleasant situation, but then again, like this past week, we had the bad weather occurring during the middle of the week, which is better usually for outdoor activities since most people are either working or at school and they like to enjoy the weekend, which this weekend will be fine. Now, late next week, say late Thursday and especially Friday and Saturday, coldest weather so far this season is going to be moving in. We may not get out of the low 30s at best by Friday with wind chills in the teens.
Wow.
Nothing record-breaking, certainly. We've been near zero this time of the year, but it's been just so mild. And then after that, we're going to have a couple of opportunities of rain and or snow as we go through around the 16th or the 17th, so about a week or so before Christmas. That's about as far as we can go with reasonableness. And I, again, want to say that I'm starting to see signs. There's been very cold air building in Alaska and northwest Canada. We saw this yesterday. Dom and I were talking about it. We were looking at the live cam out of Fairbanks, Alaska, in the morning. And for them, it was like 3 in the morning, dark. But it was 7 below zero there with snow on the ground, and it was snowing lightly. There's cold air that's starting to build. And by 2 weeks from now, roughly, in stages, we're going to get the cold later next week. But the week after that, that's when we may be looking at temperatures down into the single numbers at night and maybe not getting out of at least the low and mid-20s during the day. And I bring this up, and I'll end on this because I know you want to get back to the great discussion, that last December was one of the warmest on record. This December looks to be, at very most, an average cold December. It's nothing close to last December. And if that's the case, of course, we're still way out past where we can forecast. If that's the case, though, we maybe have a good shot at getting a white Christmas.
Wow, that would be so great. I'm getting my tree tomorrow, too. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, I love to do that. And it's always good. Do you get a real tree or a fake tree, Jim?
I get back and forth. Most of the time, it was years ago when I was married, we got real trees. Now you get like the Charlie Brown tree when you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a real one, but small.
Yeah.
Little small ones that you can almost fit into a couple of rooms or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
Now, right.
So you're going to get a real one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love to come into the house and just smell that wonderful pine.
Oh,
it's just so nice. It just does. And there's a couple of places that I've shopped around. I've already got my my scope on, and I'm going to mention some of the out and about activities. And one is the Briggs Nursery off Achille Boulevard. They're having their art and craft fair today and tomorrow, so might be heading up that way to buy a tree from them, or a tropical garden further down on the left-hand side.
Oh, great. Well, again, the weather, you know, for this weekend should be good for that. And, of course, you'll get the smell from the pine needles and everything else. So it was just starting now to get into the Christmas and holiday, you know, fever. And the weather, I think, is going to start to make you feel that way as well. I don't see any tropical weather, you know, as we go closer and closer to the holiday season. So, again, take advantage of this weekend's weather in terms of doing things outdoors, no weather problems in terms of the roadways. Maybe our first view of snowflakes for many coming up this Monday.
I can't wait. I actually cannot wait. So,
yeah, as long as we don't get, you know, a raging blizzard or anything like that. But, again, I'm seeing signs that it is going to be much more active and certainly colder than last December, this December.
All right. Sounds great. And I look forward to chatting with you. And my email finally works. Yay.
I know. I might send you again something maybe Monday or Tuesday, just to make sure that let me know if you get it. If you get it, just send me back, because I have no idea why.
I fiddled
around with things, and I know nobody wants to listen to this.
But I
fiddled around with some setting on my computer, and somehow it got through. So that's
it did, and I'm so happy. Listen, just FYI, we're planning a special show on December 31st, and I'd like to have you come in the studio if you're around. And
okay.
I'm going to have a past guest on, and we're going to have the last show of the season and the last show of the year party here at 7 a.m. So I'll
That's right, yeah, because Christmas is Saturday, Sunday this year. Of course, that means New Year's Eve and New Year's Day is Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All
so
right, well, I'll talk to you next week, and I'll make a note of it.
Okay, sounds great. You take care, and thanks again for your weather forecast.
All right, thanks, Elaine. See
you're
later.
Welcome.
Bye.
All right, there goes Jim Corbin. Yes, Jim did mention in Attleboro, even though there's not a Christmas parade this year in Attleboro, there is going to be a huge, wonderful festival in Capron Park today, and the star of the show will be Santa Claus, as usual. So our own Dominic Katoy will be spinning records there from 1 to 4, and it's at Capron Park. They call it the Holiday Happening Celebration, 1 to 4, at the Noel Shelter. As soon as you drive in, you just go bare to the left, and it's a huge bandstand type of thing, and can meet Santa Claus, and there's going to be food and have your picture taken with Santa and listen to the Christmas music. So by the time you leave, you'll be in the Christmas spirit as always. Listen, we got to take our last break. I have some out and about stuff, and then I want to jump over to finish our interview with Richard Lunt. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful
From November 17th to December 15th, the Attleboro Arts Museum will exhibit Art of Celebrating: Trees, Lights, and Symbols of the Season. The exhibition will feature artful Christmas trees, wreaths, Hanukkah menorahs, and Kwanzaa kanaras created and decorated by volunteer artists. All pieces will be on display in the museum's Otmar Gallery during part of November and Community Gallery in December. The work will be raffled off to benefit museum art classes and exhibitions. If you are interested in creating an original holiday-themed piece, email office at attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Community V&A, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community V&A is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
What is that?
Oh, that? It's my time machine.
Does it work?
Sure. Just hit this button.
Whoa, dinosaurs. Cool.
Or we can go here.
Hey, that's Napoleon.
Oui.
Or we can go to the future.
Wow, hey, you have this nice house. Do I have a nice house?
No, you didn't save any money. Always spent it on vacations and stuff.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and correct that bad habit.
Yep.
Okay, the time machine is not real, but the saving thing is. Get in the habit of putting some of your money in savings each week through a 401k, savings account, or financial investments. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy tips on saving, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. What does this crazy little button do?
Wait, no!
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Popular historian and speaker Dr. Gary Highlander will be back this December at Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro for a three-part series on John Marshall and the Supreme Court. The series will take place on three consecutive Thursdays, December 1st, 8th, and 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Justice John Marshall was the longest-serving Chief Justice and a member of the court for over 30 years. Many of his decisions are still having an effect today. Dr. Highlander's talks are popular and fill up fast, so register early. To register, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
Last chance for love. Yes, it's my last chance.
Yes, I'm going to cut this music because we only have a few minutes left before our show ends today. So if you're out and about the Holiday Inn in Mansfield, which is a huge event, they have a craft fair with over 100 people that makes arts and crafts and drawings and paintings and all kinds of things for those last-minute Christmas presents that are heartfelt. And if you're not an artist like me, I'd rather go out and either make something or buy something. So Sunday is tomorrow from 10 to 4 in Mansfield, and so you can get a great selection of that. Also, I have to tell you, when I tell you that I'm going out and about and I'm going to do something, 99% of the time I do. So I have to apologize because I said that Briggs Nursery is this weekend. Well, in my mindset when I left here, I thought it was last weekend. So I went up to Briggs Nursery. I did get a poinsettia plant, but I was looking all around. The holiday fair is actually today and tomorrow. And they have glass art, wood, fiber, ceramics, jewelry, photography, candles, soaps, and cards, and face painting. And even though I won't get my face painted, although I am wearing makeup, Briggs Nursery has a two-day event. So Saturday and Sunday, yes, it's this weekend in North Attleboro, Briggs Nursery from 10 to 4 p.m. So check it out. They have some wonderful, wonderful things. So you want to make sure you check that out. And something unusual, Bell Ringers, the Fellowship of Bell Ringers in North Attleboro, First Baptist Church in North Attleboro, 75 Park Street, that was right next to where I used to live, is going to have a free concert at 2 p.m. today. It's always interesting, and that certainly is an art form, that's for sure. And if you're out and about and you want to see something very eclectic, they have a great RISD holiday art sale at the Rhode Island Convention Center. And that's going to be next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5. So mark that on your calendar, too, because that would be a very interesting show. People from all over the country come as far away as California, New York, and it's going to be a really great show. And a lot of the art sales are going to be, they're going to have over 200 artists at the Rhode Island Convention Center next Saturday. Most of them are Rhode Island School of Design alumni. So you just want to come and check that out, too. And I'm going to get back to Richard because the lottery, I'll quickly do this, and then I want to talk to Richard about, we want to wrap up with his interview as well. So the lottery, the Mass daily number, is 9594. Rhode Island daily number, this is so unique. I've been doing this for almost 4 years. I've never seen this number come up. It's 2, 2, 2, and 2. That is so unusual. Mass cash, 5, 6, 11, 14, 27. The Mega Millions, 3, 33, 35, 49, 51. The Mega Ball is 1, and the Mega Plier is 2. So we want to jump back on our interview with Richard Lund. We're talking about how to find a job, what people should do, how to perk up your resume, and what are these wonderful tips that he was telling you about is make sure that your resume reflects that job description. And the first three or four job skills, it should be the first four job skills of your resume. So make sure you do that. So, Richard, I know we only have like maybe a few more minutes to go. What is the best advice you can give someone looking for a job?
Well, the best advice I tell people is take a look at your skill set and update your skill set, and then look for jobs that you know that you want to be passionate about. Do you have a passion for a certain industry, like the healthcare industry or the IT industry? Look for something that you're passionate about. That's something that you're going to, because this is your livelihood, and you want to make sure you're in a job that you can grow professionally, that you can make good money at too. So those are a lot of factors involved in you know, looking for a job. But that's the advice what I would tell people, is to just basically take stock of your skill set, make sure they match up, and also find something that you're passionate about too. The company or the company mission, or the job, all of that has to play into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's never too late to look for another job and find something that you really love.
Especially for older workers, like career changers, that's a huge thing. I mean, that's why for people who are changing careers, look for something that you develop a passion for or you really want to do, and make good living at, and also that you can thrive and grow in a certain job too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that employees now are working longer?
I think they are, because companies are doing more with less, so a lot of tasks are on, they put a lot on the plate of employees. So yeah, people are working longer, but they're also working smarter too, because say in manufacturing, there's automated systems, but you also have to have people trained to press the buttons to make the machines work, the automated mm-hmm. systems work. So yeah, there's a lot of that involved too.
Right. Yeah. And the three words you should never say is, "Not my job." Like when somebody asks you to do something, you should never say, "That's not my job."
That take that. Yeah, when they ask you to do something out of your scope, yeah, that shows you can be valuable to the company. So always take that as a positive opportunity. Say, "Yes, I'll take that on." That's an added skill set. Yeah. So.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. And what's the best part of your job?
The best part of my job currently as a training specialist, I get to, I've written up 100 master job descriptions.
Wow.
For a certain group in the company that I'm contracting for. They had a need, and I filled that need being an HR person, knowing how to write job descriptions. And so these master job descriptions have to be in compliance. So the next step is to have the manager and HR review them to make sure the job codes are on the resumes and the current salary grades too. So I was given all that information. So there's 100 job descriptions that are going to be going into compliance, and I was the one that handled that project. So I'm very proud of that.
I would imagine that job. Oh my God, yeah. That is fantastic. You're a huge asset to your company, and I hope that they see that value too and keep you on. And next time I talk to you, you can say, "Yes, full-time, I'm hired. This is awesome." And that's what I wish for you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And I know this is really early and everything, so I do appreciate your time and energy, and I really do appreciate
it's my
you.
My pleasure, yeah. So had a lot of fun today. Yeah, and I'll be back on the 31st.
The 31st, yes, yeah, 31st. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we have fun here, too, and I appreciate all my guests, and I appreciate you, our listeners, too, because I know it's not easy getting up, or if you're just tuning us in and having a cup of coffee and everything. I know you're listening because I get all these emails afterwards. And I mean, from Australia to Florida to California, people are listening through live stream, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. We're all connected in some way.
I know. It's kind of scary. Some good and some bad. But anyway, folks, with just a few more minutes, I just want to thank Richard for coming on. And I'd like to thank Mike for working the board, and Jim Corbin also for bringing us such a great weather report each and every week. Remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m., followed by our own Paul Healy from 9 to noon. And our show will be live next week for Out and About with Elaine, Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And Dave Kane will be on from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at 1320 WARA, thanks for listening to our show. And meet me back here next Saturday for another edition of Out and About with Elaine.